Well, I want to welcome you all here this evening, but before I get into that extensive welcome, I want to thank all of the musicians and the technicians, the light, the sound, the greeters, the whole kit and caboodle. This is a brand new venue for us. We've never worshiped. This is the first worship service held in this new facility, and we are grateful that you are here to, in a sense, christen it with your worship. And I am especially grateful for those of you who have come from faraway places beyond our wildest imaginings, that you would come from distant places like Big Rapids or downtown Grand Rapids or places like that. Thank you for packing a lunch and making your journey here today. I want to show you a few clips, video clips, that I hope will give you a sense of what this whole new facility is about here tonight. As you know, Calvin considers itself to be often on the cutting edge, and it thinks of itself as an entrepreneurial, innovative enterprise. And so when we thought about building this extensive facility here, we began to think more creatively about what we could do in the name of sports that really would put Calvin front and center. So we're going to show you a bunch of clips here, and I'm just going to describe them now, and then we'll just roll them consecutively. The first one is that we've had a lot of discussion at Calvin here about making basketball more co-ed. So the MIAA would be more co-ed. There wouldn't be like any longer a men's basketball and a women's basketball. We just put them together. So the first clip is going to demonstrate to you how we imagine women and men playing basketball together on the same team. You'll find it, I think, very innovative. We have to work out a few things, but we think we're on the way. Secondly, we've been thinking, too, about how we can be innovative by combining gymnastics with some exercise equipment. And so you're going to see a demonstration tonight. And again, we have some more things to work out, but we think we're on the cutting edge of this, too. The third clip has to do with this reality. Calvin does not have a gymnastic program. And this clip here is to demonstrate to you why we don't participate in gymnastics. And the third clip is to help you understand that we're not just here about students. We are also here about profs. And we have a prof here at Calvin so that when we built the diving stations and the swimming pool, we had this particular prof in mind because he has had a lifetime fear of diving from high boards. And so the last clip will demonstrate that. So let's down the lights a bit, and here we go with the first one. We'll run them in succession. Co-ed basketball. Here we go again, instant replay. Yes, 2 points. You see a great future for co-ed basketball. Here's our next one.
Recording.
Oh my God. Oh.
Slow motion. Like I said, we got some things to work out here yet. And here's the reason why we do not do gymnastics at Calvin.
This is the final vault for Stefan Beletsky.
Father and coach Usten Beletsky looking on.
Whoa! Oh. I've never seen a springboard break like that.
There will be a deduction on the landing.
I'd hate to be responsible for that.
That was a hope, coach. And here's our final, remember? Here's one of Calvin's own profs overcoming his fear of high diving. All right. Just wanted to show you those clips to help you come to grips with the fact that a lot of thought went into this facility so that Calvin could stay on the cutting edge, as I said. Let's pray. Father God, we are so delighted that you love us and embrace us, that you call us by name, and that you call us into an adventure like none other. May we once again tonight get a sense of what it is that you are calling us to do, and the choice that we have to make, to either go with the status quo, with mediocrity, or to go with another mode of living out life in this world and in your kingdom. Wherever we are in our respective journeys of faith, I pray that you would nudge us, that you would provoke us to move a little further down that road. We pray this in your name. Amen. Here's our text for tonight. It is from the third book of John, verse 2. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you, and that you may be in good health, just as it is well with your soul. I pray that all may go well with you, and that you may be in good health. And understand that we're looking at this text in the context of this new field house. And so it is natural for us to think about, what does it mean to be healthy? What does it mean for us to be well in Christ? What does it mean for us to be healthy in God? And the title for my message tonight is called Your Thriver's License. Driver's License, Thriver's License. Now, I want to say to you that when I see this text, it is the kind of text that I find myself wishing somebody would bless me with. Beloved, I want you to be well. I desire nothing more than you to be well in your soul, in your body, in your whole being. Now, I think most of us here would agree that getting your driver's license is one of life's most significant rites of passage. That small little laminated card with that little goofy picture means, for most of us, long-awaited freedom. Your means of escape, the beginning of your real life. How many of you here remember when you got your license, when you got your driver's license? Do you remember the soundtrack that was playing? Many people can pinpoint the kind of music they were listening to when they were first in the car and either took a CD along or a tape, or if you're really old, an 8-track, and pop that thing into the console. I remember the soundtrack when I got my driver's license back in the 60s. I can remember it like it just happened yesterday. Here was my song. Can we get some volume on this thing? Head out on the highway, looking for adventure. And whatever comes our way, yeah, like yesterday. Every time I hear that song, I think of my father's big honkin' Oldsmobile station wagon. So utterly cool. Is it any wonder that when I graduated, within 7 days after graduation, I bought a 1969 white Mustang Fastback GT. But that was then, and this is now. For most of us, getting our driver's license is a significant step in claiming our own identity apart from our parents. In reality, I think we come in time to realize that it's more symbolic than real. But it is nevertheless a major marker in the larger identity thing that is going on in our life, a process that wants to go deep with God, wants to go deep with God as He continues to nudge and prod and poke around in our lives. And just so that we're all straight, the reason that God keeps messing with your life, keeps prodding and poking and nudging in your life, is because that God has this one insatiable longing to have you thrive in this world, to thrive in His kingdom. God does not comprehend the word status quo. God does not have in His vocabulary mediocrity. Too many of us settle for survival because we think that thriving is too costly or too hard or irrelevant. We think that thriving in Jesus might cost us dearly. It might cost us in popularity. If we thrive with Jesus, it may downgrade our cool factor. If we thrive in Jesus, it may limit our love life. Because you can't love Jesus and mess around in ways that Jesus does not approve of. So why would you want to thrive with Jesus if it meant you couldn't so-called thrive in your love life? So it's too costly. For many Christians, following Jesus has become less about thriving and more about simply surviving. How many people do you know, or perhaps you are one of them, who have decided to lowball your spiritual life in order to squeak by as kingdom citizens? You squeak by, so you show up at church or loft, you toss a little money into the basket, you play on the church softball team, maybe on the music team, and then you pray quickly on the way to class, or on the way to work. And I want to tell you that, no, I don't think any of these things are bad. But if they don't spring from your heart, and they don't bring vitality to your faith, they are just surface stuff, hardly the stuff of the thrive life that is needed to live adventurously in the kingdom, to live adventurously with Jesus. I can't tell you how many students, staff, faculty at this school here talk to me about how dull their faith feels to them. This sense that God is not alive in them, that they're not alive in God. They're going through these motions, but it's very automatic. Something is profoundly missing, so they think. And the way to describe them is that they're simply getting by. Now, let me just switch gears for a minute and talk to you about what it means to thrive physically. If we eat a lot and exercise a little, we know what happens. Lots of calories consumed, a few calories burned, equals stored calories, aka as love handles. A lot of us have the evidence to prove it. If you don't believe me, just go to your neighbor and go by their waist and just go like this. That's what we call love handles. It's okay, we're friends here. This is a very generous community. Many people think that they have figured out how to survive physically. Certain minimum requirements. Eat as much and whatever you want, but make sure that you set aside enough time in your day to exercise. By walking to the kitchen from the TV or computer room at least several times a day, you'll stay healthy. I was struck Friday when we had our dedication service event here, and afterwards there was food. And the food that was being offered was hot dogs. So here we spent three quarters of an hour talking about wellness, and Calvin says, speaking of wellness, have a hot dog. It is the meat version of a Twinkie. The truth is, physical thriving takes good exercise in tandem with good nutrition. This facility here is Calvin's way of saying your physical health matters to God, and because it matters to God, it matters to us. So let's see that picture of this facility. And it is a grand facility. Maybe some of you came through that entrance, although I don't think the sky was that blue and yeah. But anyway, you get this, the gist. We at Calvin take your bodies seriously. We care about your lungs, your heart, your cholesterol, your weight, your blood pressure, your strength, your flexibility. We care about those things deeply. But Calvin realizes something more. Life is not just about physical well-being. If all a person does is spend hours on end working out in the gym and thinks that he or she is in a state of wellness, they'll be sadly mistaken down the road. Exercise can, like other things, become an addiction. And for some of you here, and some of you not here at Calvin, it has become just that. Even though we would never point our finger at you and say so. Life, for people who think exercise is the end all, life for them will become imbalanced and off-center. Life is more than physical. Our soul matters to God too. And therefore, at Calvin, your soul, my soul, matters. And that's why we have an incredibly wonderful chapel over on the other side of this campus. Directly across from this wellness center, this physical wellness center, is our spiritual wellness center. And the chapel represents another kind of place to work on our thriving wellness. Soul health requires regular exercise and balanced nutrition as well. When you look over God's exercise and nutrition options, you discover what a varied number of items you have to choose from. It's not just one or two or three things. There are a lot of things that bring us to a place of thriving in our soul. Prayer, service, Bible study, scripture memorization, inspiring music, captivating art, powerful movie clips, liturgical dance, drama, journaling, silence, fasting, feasting, deep friendships created around Jesus. These are just a few of the things that contribute to a thriving soul. But I would suggest to you, and some of you will take issue, that you can go overboard with some of those practices as well and become, in a sense, addicted and become imbalanced. In other words, you could suggest that all that matters in your life is your soul. And that's not right. But stop and think. There is more. Between the Chapel Wellness Center and this, the physical wellness center, there are residence halls, classrooms, libraries, labs, drama stages, music rehearsal rooms, conversation corners, spaces for film editing, a counseling center, art studios, and the list goes on. All of these things contribute to a potentially thriving life in Jesus Christ. It takes a whole enterprise to be well, in order that we might end up thinking well, believing well, behaving well, struggling well for social and racial justice, caring well for God's creation. These are the kinds of things that make for a thriving adventure in faith. Now, each of us, according to our physical and mental and emotional DNAs, are going to gravitate towards different things within the larger menu and options available to you in the kingdom of God. We're not all going to do the same exercises, and we're not all going to do them at the same pace and so forth. But what we're about is nudging one another, following the nudging activity of God's Holy Spirit, that we would move more and more into the thriving adventure called the kingdom of God. Now, I am guessing that I so far haven't told you anything you already didn't know. You, I suspect, are a smart crew here tonight. But knowing isn't the same as doing. And doing can sometimes be hard to launch. We lack motivation, we postpone, we lie to ourselves that survival tactics really aren't that bad. Once I get beyond Calvin, or once I get to this stage in my life, then I'll have more time to spend on thriving in the kingdom. Right now, I just want to survive. I want to get by in the kingdom. And this is precisely where we need a taste of the Nike gospel. The Nike gospel, which says simply, just do it. Take a step. Move. Some time ago, a USA Today front page article talked about those who escaped the World Trade Center on September 11. After interviewing over 300 survivors and family members of victims, USA Today concluded that in the South Tower, those who did not delay but ran for safety immediately were the ones who survived. Those who delayed were the ones who perished. Now, I think there's a spiritual lesson here. Delay in matters of life and death, spiritual, physical, mental, or otherwise, is seldom good. Tonight is your starting point. So my question to you is this. What's your next step toward living well? Towards thriving and not just doing the status quo survival routine one more day. What are you going to do? What is your next step going to be to get out of this status quo mediocre life that you think passes for serious fellowship of Jesus? Or do you think that where you're at spiritually is as good as it can get? Because if you believe that, then you haven't met the Jesus that I've met. Ben, if you want to come up. For some of you here tonight, it may mean that you will need to take your first step in the form of making Christ the Lord of your life. But I'm not just talking about making Jesus the Lord of your soul. I'm talking about making Jesus Lord of your soul and your body and your mind. It might mean for some of you beginning to do what you have been thinking about doing, but you've never gotten around to doing it. Some of you, I think, in this place may need to dramatically change some of your relationships because your relationships are keeping you in a survival mode and not a thriving mode in your relationship to Christ. Some of you here need to change your habits. Author Dallas Willard says, "Life runs by habit, but most habits run in the wrong direction." So ask yourself, are the habits that you are into day in and day out, are they leading you towards Jesus or in fact away from Jesus? Then your step tonight may be saying, I'm going to change at least one habit in my life that puts me in the direction of Jesus and not away from Jesus. And you know the difference. I know you know the difference. So here's what I want you to do. I want you right now to close your eyes. Now, I don't know if the person to the left or the right of you is somebody that you feel comfortable with just putting your hand on them, putting your hand on their shoulder or their arm or their hand. But I want you to pray this blessing upon the people around you. And if you're not near anybody, if you're not comfortable with that, then I just want you to hear me say these words to you. But I want you to repeat these words after me, if you will. It's the text that we looked on at the screen earlier. So say with me, to the other, to yourself, and say it audibly. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health, just as it is well with your soul. And all God's people say,